with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 18, and I thought it would be fun to talk about some vestibular and proprioceptive activities for summertime today. This is the time of year that we are often outside more, going to parks and playgrounds, swimming and biking, and so many other outdoor activities. I wanted to take a minute and discuss how some of these things can provide additional sensory stimulation to kids who want and need it. But these things are also generally fun for most kids and can make even kids without sensory processing needs feel good too. Before I get into this in more depth, I wanted to talk about the research article for today. The study for today was printed in the 2011 American Journal of Occupational Therapy. The title of the study is Electroencephalography in Children with and Without Sensory Processing Disorders During Auditory Processing. That is quite a long title, and I won't be saying the word electroencephalography anymore today. I will just simply say EEG instead. I think most people have heard of an EEG, but not everyone actually knows what it is. An EEG is basically a way of measuring brain activity. Electrodes are placed on the scalp of the person's head, and they measure that person's spontaneous electrical brain activity. This test is commonly used to diagnose epilepsy or seizure disorder. In this study, the EEG was used to measure brain activity after auditory stimuli were given. To measure auditory processing responses with an EEG, they take an average of the responses over a certain amount of time. This is called event-related potentials, or ERPs. The study looked at a total of 91 kids between the ages of 5 and 10 years old. They were split into two groups. One group had 20 kids that had a diagnosis of sensory processing disorder, or SPD. The second group had 71 kids who were considered typically developing for their age. The EEG measured different auditory stimuli that were presented as clicks or tones, and at different frequencies and intensity. There are too many details here to give you all of them, so I have put a link in the article for today's show notes and on my website if you want to read about it more in depth. Basically, the results did show that kids with sensory processing disorder have significant differences in brain processing of simple auditory stimuli than typically developing peers. Now, for today's topic, we're going to move on to the summertime activities that provide proprioceptive and vestibular sensory stimulation. I've talked about these areas of processing before, but let me give you a review for those who missed it, or even for those who just need a reminder. These are pretty abstract type ideas for most people, and it can take many times of hearing the explanations before you really start to understand it. I generally talk about these two areas together, especially when giving suggestions for activities to do for them, because they easily go hand in hand. It is actually more challenging to come up with activities that only one or the other is involved with, although I can give some of those as well. Let's start with proprioception. This is the sense of where your body is in space. It is basically stimulated by the tension in your muscles, joints, and tendons. This happens when you use your arms, legs, and body to do an activity. Most of the time it happens when you are either moving your body or moving an object using your body. These parts of your body can help you determine where you are in the environment. Some of the classic examples of this to make it maybe more clear are 1, closing your eyes and touching your nose with your finger. And 2, closing your eyes and standing or balancing on one foot. By closing your eyes, you take away the visual sense, which we use in combination with other senses to determine where our body is in space. But without the vision piece, we are using proprioception, especially for the touching your nose example, without anything else interfering. For the standing on one foot, you use both proprioception and vestibular senses to keep yourself upright and keep your balance. Why is this important? Well, this helps keep you from walking into walls or obstacles, helps you find where your chair is behind you before you sit down, tells you how hard to push the door to get it to close without slamming it, It helps you give someone a gentle pat on the back rather than hitting them on the back and making them angry because you used too much force accidentally. There are so many examples, I could really never name them all, but the general idea is that it helps you realize where your body is in relation to other things in your environment or in the world around you. For today, I will mainly focus on those kids or people who need more stimulation in the proprioceptive sense in order to try and determine where their body is in relation to other objects. These are people that might appear to be clumsy, frequently bump into things around the house like furniture or walls. They might trip over things. When they fall as kids, they just never seem to get hurt. These are people that might have issues with personal space. For example, they get too close when talking to you and not realize that they're in your space or that it's making you feel uncomfortable. These kids might enjoy loud hammering type activities or drumming on things. They could also love getting bear hugs or just wrapping up in a heavy blanket. People who are unaware of where their body is need extra stimulation of their muscles, joints, and tendons in order to help them figure it out. As I said, it's pretty abstract, and especially if you don't have any issues with this yourself, it can be difficult to understand. I will give some examples of activities in a minute after I review the vestibular sense. Vestibular sensory processing is figuring out where your head is in space. Of course, your head is attached to your body, but that's not exactly what I mean. You can begin to see how it might go along with proprioception, though. So in order to determine where your head is in space, basically which way is up, down, sideways, and to determine if you are moving or not, your inner ear is the place to help you with this. Specifically, the three semicircular canals in your inner ear. As fluid moves through these canals, it sends signals to your brain that helps you figure out where your head is in space and what it's doing, whether it's moving or spinning or just staying in one place. The fluid starts moving when your head moves, and it changes directions, continues moving, or stops depending on what you're doing with your head. If you are running, the fluid starts to move when you first start running forward. Then it continues to flow in the same manner. When you stop running, the fluid slows down accordingly. If you suddenly stop running forward and start running backwards, the fluid makes a quick stop and changes directions as well. It is this stopping and changing directions that is alerting or stimulating for the vestibular system. One of the types of vestibular processing issues is where a person needs more movement or more changes in directions than people without sensory issues. This is the type that I will mainly focus on for today's show. A person with this type of vestibular processing might look hyperactive or like they have ants in their pants. They might prefer activities that include running, jumping, spinning, or swinging. So let's talk about some of the summertime activities that involve proprioceptive and vestibular stimulation. A big one is swimming. Of course, we can swim any time of year, but it is especially fun to swim outside when it's too hot to do anything else out there. Swimming is great for both of these senses. The actions of moving your arms and legs for kicking and paddling in the water is one example of a proprioceptive activity. Also, holding on to the side of the pool and holding on to a pool noodle or a floating toy with your arms and legs. Both senses are included in the activities of jumping in off the side of the pool or the diving board, and somersaults under the water, or handstands for those who can do that. Also, just the act of swimming through the water is really good for both areas. When you lay on your back in the water, you get a change in head position, which is alerting and stimulating for the vestibular sense as well. When you get your entire body, including your head, under the water, you're giving yourself a great amount of deep pressure with slight resistance. This is a wonderful way of satisfying both of the senses as well. Many people are surprised when their child loves to go under the water, or at least put their head under the water in the pool. When they like it in the pool, they often will do it at home in the bathtub as well. This could be a sign of the pressure aspect, but is also often seen in kids with auditory processing issues. It is a way for them to block out all of the loud and different types of sounds going on in and around the pool area. It can be very calming in itself for these kids. Another summertime activity is going to parks or playgrounds. This is a great place to get their vestibular and proprioceptive needs met as well. The swings are the most obvious for vestibular, but if they are able to keep their own swing going, they're also using proprioception. If the kids are big enough and strong enough to sit in a non-infant swing, they are using proprioception just to hold on to the chains of the swings to stay on it. But even infants and toddlers can get great vestibular activation by sitting in the baby swings. I try to encourage parents to provide the additional vestibular stimulation by swinging them several times, then stopping the swing for a few seconds, and then restarting them again. This will add an extra element of the stop and go of the inner ear fluid, which can be more stimulating for them to get their needs met. Some kids like to lay on their tummy on the flat swings and swing this way like a bird or Superman. This is a great change for their head position and swinging motion. Plus, if they are able to push off the ground to make themselves go forward, that is also good for proprioception. Some kids are scared of the swings, or they will only go on the swing if they're lying on their tummy or sitting on an adult's lap. If the child has sensitivities with the vestibular sense, they might fit into one of those categories. In this case, it is the opposite of what we've been discussing today. This is where they would most likely feel every little movement their head makes. Kids that feel every little motion can have the feeling like they are falling, especially when their head is tipped forward or backward, even slightly. It is also difficult for them when their feet are hanging from the swing. This is because when their feet are on the floor, they are able to tell where their body is in space. This is the proprioceptive piece of it. When their feet are hanging in the air, they have no way to determine which way is up, and they may have the feeling that they are falling down or falling over. You can see this even with infants that are in the baby swings. Not every baby that's scared of swings or cries when you put them in a swing has issues with sensory processing. But if that happens consistently and you start to notice other symptoms during other activities, it might be something to check into. The slides are also great for both areas of vestibular and proprioception. Climbing up the ladders or the steps to get to the top involves muscle, joint, and tendon activation. Then going down the slides involves muscle actions and gets their head moving through space. I know a lot of people have the rule where they say, up the stairs and down the slide. And I can understand this rule from the perspective of keeping kids from getting in each other's way and hurting each other on the slides if one is climbing up when one is sliding down. But I can also see the benefit from a sensory and gross motor standpoint of letting them climb up the slide by holding onto the sides and walking their feet up with their supervision and assistance as needed. It is good heavy work and actually incorporates a lot of motor activities. Monkey bars are great for proprioception, especially using tension in their arms to hold onto the bars, swing forward, and move across to the next bars. Even just hanging and swinging themselves back and forth on one bar is great. If they are big enough to jump up, or even with assistance to jump up high enough, that is also a good opportunity to incorporate more of the head moving through space in a different way for vestibular activation. Riding their bikes, trikes, or other ride-on toys outside are great activities for proprioception and vestibular actions. Pushing their feet on the pedals or on the ground to propel themselves forward gets both areas going, especially when the forward movement continues, or they can slow down and speed up again, rolling downhills in the grass like a log. This is one activity not a lot of kids are encouraged to do these days. However, this is one easy way to get their head moving by rolling their body on the ground, similar to a spinning motion, but they can get the deep pressure on their body from the ground when they roll. Also, swinging in a hammock is great for both areas. If anyone has done the activity of blanket swinging with their child, this is similar to that, although not quite as good all around as the blanket swinging. You get the movement side-to-side swinging, or they can lay the other direction so they are swinging forward and back as well. Plus, the pressure of the hammock around their body, on their back, and around their sides is great for the proprioceptive area. You can find some more examples of outdoor activities and equipment posted on my website today at mymidwesttherapy.com. After doing some of these activities with kids that are craving the movement and pressure activities, you might notice there's a period of time where they actually stop moving and maybe look at a book or play with a toy sitting down where they usually wouldn't do this. If you see that happen, you have likely given them enough of the movements and pressure activities that their body needs in order to be ready to learn or focus on something for a short period of time. This is a temporary situation, but as they grow and continue to get more and more of the sensory activities their body needs, you should see longer and longer periods of time where they're able to focus and pay attention to learn something new or practice a difficult skill. Another thing you might notice while they are in the middle of vestibular and proprioceptive activities, especially the vestibular part, is that they might vocalize or talk more than they usually do. The movement activities are especially helpful in getting the areas of your brain going that are responsible for speech and language. I try to incorporate language activities during the movements when appropriate. For example, if your child is swinging and they want to swing more, let's say maybe they're around 15 months of age and they're working on trying to sign or say more in order to tell you that they want to continue an activity, you can help them swing, then count to 10 or sing a short song while they're swinging, and when it's over, say stop and stop their swing at the same time. Then you can have them use their more sign or say the word as best they can, even if it's just the beginning sound, and immediately restart the swinging if they try any type of communication. You could also try ready, set, and pause, and then say go and maybe point your finger, move your arm forward at the same time to give them a gesture to try and imitate in case they can't say go. The nice thing about using the more sign or the go gesture is that they can be successful even if you have to help them make the sign or the motion. Without that physical gesture, you can't guarantee they can be successful because you can't force them to make a sound or vocalize. We can help them bring their two hands together or move their arm forward to make the signs as long as they will let you help them. This will allow them to see the concrete results of getting to swing again after they do that motion or make the sound. Depending on their language skills, we may even take any sound they make as good enough to get them to swing. Knowing that, eventually we will shape that sound into the correct sound and eventually the word, hopefully. Sometimes the key is just getting them to understand that making a sound or making a sign gets the results they are really wanting. And by pairing it with the movement activity, you are setting them up in the best way possible to encourage the language to come out more easily because you are getting the right areas of the brain stimulated. Now, I seem to have veered off the summer activity examples here at the end, but as usual, with child development discussions, one thing leads to another. I'll end here for today, and thank you for listening.